I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture today is Matthew 15:10-28. Then He called the crowd to Him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to Him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Jesus said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then He said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just when a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But He did not answer her at all. And His disciples came and urged Him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly.
Thank you, Connie. You know, as we've seen on the news and through most media outlets, we are in a world that is full of hate and discontent and intolerance. Unfortunately, that rings true even here in the United States, as we've seen in the past couple of weeks. There are those who profess themselves to be Christian who have aligned themselves with these groups that are called haters, hate groups. It makes you wonder how that can happen. How do you bring those two together? Let us look at the scene our scripture gives us. When Jesus entered Tyre and Sidon, a Canaanite woman formed a one-woman welcoming committee. Why? Because many of the inhabitants of Tyre and Sidon hated Jesus. They didn't like Him. He had been there before. Jesus is no stranger. That region, He said, is like Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, where the inhabitants did not respond positively to Jesus' miracles. So Jesus knew where He was. And yet this woman comes out, this one woman, and greets Him. How does that work? She uses words that are familiar to us. For those of you who have studied and read the Gospel of Matthew, you will see this phrase many times. "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." Matthew makes sure that Son of David is in there. Matthew has used this greeting many times in his gospel. Also, it is interesting to note that three women in Jesus' genealogy are Canaanites. Think about that. We have Rahab, Tamar, and Ruth, all Canaanite women. This woman is a Canaanite. She is actually in the bloodline with Jesus. Most of us don't look at those things, but clearly the words "have mercy" tell us the Canaanite woman's knowledge of Jesus' power, His power and willingness to show mercy on all who approach Him. She knows that Jesus will help. So she greets Him. And the title Son of David is perhaps her way of acknowledging Him as her kin, as royalty, as the Jewish Messiah. Notice the Canaanite woman does not, she does not say, heal my daughter. She doesn't ask that. What does she say? She says, here's my problem. My daughter is tormented by a demon. And then adds, have mercy. In fact, she doesn't even bring her daughter to Jesus. She just says, have mercy. And somehow Jesus is supposed to know that what she wants is for her daughter to be healed. You know, I read the story of a 10-year-old boy who decided to study judo, despite the fact that he lost his left arm in a car accident. It's an interesting story because the boy began lessons with an old judo master. The boy was doing well, so he couldn't understand why after 3 months he had only learned one move. Sensei, the boy finally said, shouldn't I be learning more moves? This is the only move you know, but this is the only move you will ever need to know, the sensei replied. Not quite understanding, but believing in his teacher, the boy kept training. Several months later, the sensei took him to his first tournament. Surprising himself, he easily won his first two matches. The third match proved to be more difficult, but after some time, his opponent became impatient and charged, and the boy deftly used his one move and won the match. Still amazed by his success, the boy was now in the finals. This time, his opponent was bigger, stronger, and more experienced. For a while, the boy appeared to be overmatched. Concerned that the boy might get hurt, the referee called a timeout. He was about to stop the match when the sensei intervened. No, the sensei insisted, let him continue. Soon after the match resumed, his opponent made a critical mistake. He dropped his guard. Instantly, the boy used his one move to pin him. The boy had won the match and the tournament. He was the champion. On the way home, the boy and the sensei reviewed every move in each and every match. Then the boy summoned the courage to ask what was really on his mind. Sensei, how did I win the tournament with only one move? You won for two reasons, the sensei answered. First, you've almost mastered one of the most difficult throws in all of judo. And second, the only known defense for that move is for your opponent to grab your left arm. The boy's biggest weakness had become his biggest strength, and the sensei knew that and taught him that one move. I don't believe the Canaanite woman quite understood how it was that Jesus did the things that he had done. It doesn't say she had witnessed it, but she believed in him. And she used her one move. She asked for mercy. And so it is with us. Do we believe or don't we? Do we allow our biggest weakness, faith, to become our biggest strength? That is, we may not always feel strong in our faith, but we act on faith anyway. And are we willing to debate with the Lord to get what we want? Do we ever take the time to say, Lord, please have mercy on me? Now, I don't know about you. I'm standing up here and I'm thinking, I'm hungry. I'm thinking about our luncheon. All that talking just makes me really hungry. And I got to thinking, you know, when we go over there, I'd like to know if there's anything over there that might defile me. I mean, we got to be careful, don't we? We don't want to be defiled. I wonder if there's any pork. I mean, what does that even mean to defile? Maybe it means, I don't know, food of some sort. Let's see. What does Jesus say defiles a person? It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Do you see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? So I'm guessing based on what Jesus says, Food doesn't do it, does it? Although Jews in those days and his disciples were really worried about that. What if I eat something bad like pork? Jesus says, that's not a problem. I want you to pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. In the scripture preceding the story of the Canaanite woman, we read that Jesus has taught the crowds, including some Pharisees and his disciples, that a person is defiled not by what he puts in his stomach, but by what originates in his heart and is manifested in his life. So if we lead a life where these not so good things are coming out of our heart, we're defiled. You ever think about that? That how you act, what comes out of your mouth, what you say to other people, that's defiling you? I wonder if it might mean things like hatred, abuse, whether physical, verbal, or emotional, prejudice, bigotry, violence, secrets, deception, and unkindness. I wonder if that's what defiles us. Kind of sounds like that's what Jesus is saying, doesn't it? Deception, there's a word for you. Two friends run into each other while they're walking their dogs. One friend looks at the other and says, let's go to a restaurant. The friend says, oh, they will never let us in. We have our dogs with us. That doesn't bother the friend at all that suggested it. So he and his German shepherd walk up to the restaurant, walk in, and the maitre d' says, I'm sorry, you can't come in here with your dog. And the man says, but I'm blind. This is my seeing eye dog. Maitre d' apologizes and takes him to a table with his dog. His friend waits for a while, waits about 5 minutes, decides he'll do the same thing, so he walks up with his dog. The maitre d' looks at him skeptically and says, sir, your seeing eye dog is a chihuahua? The man says, a chihuahua, is that what they gave me? You see, we try to deceive people and we get into these situations. Deception is a horrible thing. And so you get in and the guys just, we just find ourselves in a mess with the Lord. Here's the thing. Jesus wants the hearers to know when our hearts are full of hate, anger, vengeance, prejudice, bigotry, deception, and violence, it will come out. And when it does, we, as Christians, will defile ourselves. We can color it with any excuse that we want, but it still defiles us. We can define our anger as justified. We can define it any way we want, but when it comes out and it hurts another human being, it defiles us. So no one immediately responds to the Canaanite woman or gives the impression they will respond. The disciples urge Jesus to send her away because it appears they are annoyed by her continued shouting. Her refusal to take silence for an answer. Remember, she says, Lord, have mercy, and Jesus doesn't say a word. Interesting thing about us humans, all too often we tend to ignore the needs of others, just like the disciples. Whether it be the need for a kind word, help when down and out, or help when being assaulted or abused, it's easier to just walk away, pretend it isn't happening. In the case of the Canaanite woman, it was her child who was suffering, and the disciples were ready to walk away. They heard her. They heard her. They knew that her daughter was suffering, and they were ready to walk away. If oppression, injustice, or pain is not happening in our house or our neighborhood or does not impact our race, gender, class, sexuality, then we dismiss it as unwelcomed, unjustified noise. Well, it's not happening to me, so I shouldn't have to worry about it. Is that what Jesus called us to? It's not happening to me, so let's just pretend it's not happening at all. Jesus' response to the apostles urging to send the Canaanite woman away seems to affirm their desire to dismiss her. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The fact that her people's blood runs through his veins and his people's blood runs through her veins does not move Jesus. If our common humanity, our relatedness, does not move us, what will? But the Canaanite woman persists. You ever met a persistent person? They just won't let it go. You feel like you have a chihuahua on your pant leg. Can't get it off. But they're persistent. They keep going. Like so many in our society crying out for justice, the Canaanite woman persisted. She persisted. She didn't go away. She won't be dismissed because she knows something about Jesus. She draws closer and kneels, and in the voice of a determined woman, she cries, "Master, help me." Her plea for help is met with indifference and distance. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? And just a note, in those days, what we know from history is Jews typically did not have dogs in their home. But the Canaanites did, the Greeks, the Romans, they had dogs. They would feed them from the table. This might explain the woman's response. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." The Canaanite woman's experience differs from Jesus's. They allow their pets to be fed while the children eat. One can feed the children and feed the pets too. And this woman's willing to be a pet. Understanding the cultural differences, ultimately, Jesus responds by commending the woman for her faith. Matthew strategically calls what this woman does an act of faith, knowing that somewhere in there Jesus is going to respond, so she persists. And keep in mind, Jesus does not perform an exorcism. He simply says, "Let it be done for you as you wish." He does not say, "Let it be done as you believed," but "as you will." The woman's persistence, identified as faith, led to her daughter's healing. Wow. Jesus mingles with those not of his faith or culture, and he performs miracles for them. That's what we're seeing. Why? I'm going to tell you the story of Brian Anderson. I don't know if you ever heard this story, but Brian Anderson was going down the road one day, and he looks up and he sees a car on the side of the road, a very, very expensive car that only a very wealthy person could afford. And the woman who was driving the car was standing out in the cold and rain. So he stops. At first, she's kind of scared. She doesn't know this guy. He pulls up in a beat-up old truck. He looks kind of dirty. He's been at work all day. But he comes up and he says, "Ma'am, please don't worry. I'm here to help." "What's the problem?" She says, "My tire. I blew a tire." He says, "You get in the car and you sit there and I'll change the tire." And he did. He goes up, knocks on her window. She rolls it down. He says, "Your car's repaired. You can go now." And she says, "How much do I owe you?" And he says, "Oh, no, don't pay me." He says, "All I ask is that you help someone else and remember me." She said, "Are you sure?" He said, "That's all I ask." So she drives off. He leaves. She sees a little restaurant. She stops at the restaurant. There's a woman in there, a young woman, who's 8 months pregnant. And she's waiting tables. Got to have the money, so she had to work. And as this girl waits on her, she says, "Do you know anything about this town?" She says, "No, not really. I don't know a lot. I'm kind of new here, too." She said, "Oh." So she gets to thinking how attentive this girl is. She brings her a towel to wipe her hair with because it's wet. She brings her some tea to warm her up. She says, "Is there anything else you need?" The woman thinks, "That is so sweet." So when she leaves, she puts a $100 bill down as a tip. She walks out. The waitress picks up the $100 bill thinking that she's supposed to get change, but by the time she turns around, the woman is gone. Then she finds a napkin, and on the napkin it says, "Thank you for your kindness. There's more." The girl opens the napkin, and there's $400 more. $500. The woman's excited. She's about to have a baby. They need all the help they can get. So she takes the money, and then the restaurant closes, and she goes home. When she gets home, her husband's in bed asleep. She crawls into bed, and she wants to tell him, but she doesn't want to wake him up. He's had a long day. But she looks at that $500, and she's happy. So she rolls over, and she kisses him. And she said, "Thank you, Brian Anderson, for being my husband." Sometimes what goes around comes around, right? $500. You see, Jesus says, "What I'm going to do for you, I want you to do for others. It doesn't matter to me that you're a Canaanite woman. It doesn't matter to me that you're a Greek or a Roman. That's not the point. The point is if I help you, then you help someone and remember me." Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if it worked that way? If we hurt people, people forgive. That's part of it. If we bother somebody and they tolerate us, that's good. Sometimes we have bad days. Well, maybe not you, but we have bad days. And when we have a bad day, someone says, "Hey, that's all right. I understand." Interestingly, the all-knowing narrator notifies the reader the woman's daughter was healed instantly. Jesus does not inform us of that. He just says, "As you will." Perhaps faith engenders persistence, and maybe persistence engenders faith. If persistence feeds faith, then we need to be more persistent about who we are. Either way, persistence and faith make a powerful pair. Significantly, Matthew inserted a summary of Jesus' healing activities immediately after Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman. Here's a whole list of what he's done. The message to us is, never underestimate the power of persistence and the God in whom we believe. Never. It's a powerful thing. The woman starts out being told, "We don't give food to the dogs." She ends up with a healed daughter. Isn't that amazing? Our Lord says, "Let me give you that power. You can be a healer. You can be someone who loves others. And you can be that person who brings hope into someone's life." Have faith. Have faith. Persistence pays off. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, as we come before you this day, we know that all too often we're not persistent enough. We say we have faith, but then we find ourselves not exactly pushing to get what we want, to get what we need, not just for us, but for others. May we be more persistent in our prayers and in our thoughts. And in our hope. For you, O Lord, are the giver of life and the giver of healing and the giver of all that we have. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.